Welcome back to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. Please make sure that you hit that subscribe button if you've not already done so, and head over to goingdeepwithaaron.com/join to sign up for our newsletter. Make sure you never miss a great episode of the show. Among the many great episodes that we've produced will include this interview with Clinton Senko, a serial entrepreneur, a hustler, a writer, and a international delegate representing Canada at the G20 Young Entrepreneurs Alliance Summit in China this past year. We talked about a ton of stuff and got into some of his tips for success. There is a ton of wisdom baked in this conversation, so please get your notepads ready and your ears perked up for my interview with Clinton Senko. So Clinton, thank you so much for coming on my podcast, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Aaron. I'm really, really pumped to obviously be here myself.
Yeah, in doing the research for this interview, you wear a whole lot of different hats. You're a very busy guy, and I think hustle is definitely a word that would explain you or define you to the audience very well. But to kind of start things off, I thought it would make sense if you just maybe took us through a day in the life or a week in the life.
Yeah, awesome. So my days are definitely sometimes hit or miss, and there's a lot of different things in some and a lot of other things that I might not get to. So in terms of most of my day right now is focused on managing, building, and growing Influensive.com. So that's what's kind of really keeping most of my time busy. We have a lot of contributing writers. We have over 100 contributing writers. We have a lot of different activity going on social media and on the website. So just trying to get the word out as much and trying to manage everything from the writers. I also do obviously some editing, as well as different types of partners that I do come across that I think would be really good for us to chat with. I'm someone that is very kind of network focused and kind of relationship driven. So whenever I find someone or come across a company that I think is doing something cool, or I think something that we could do, or maybe something that we could do together, I just always try and reach out to them through various different methods. So that's mostly what I do. I do some writing as well. I write for the Huffington Post, Influensive, and a few other different publications and websites online. So I'm always writing. Definitely try to mix in some reading in there as well. Always trying to learn and expand on everything that I'm learning and doing right now. And there's always more skills that I obviously can learn. So reading's a big part of my day. And then I obviously try to fit in some sort of activity, some sort of exercise. I'm not always the best at it. Sometimes my days get a little crazy, and sometimes I find myself in front of my computer and sitting down for too long, which I'm sure you can probably agree with. But
absolutely.
So I definitely try to do something, and I definitely credit my wife to that. She's good with kind of getting me up and getting active and doing something, so I'm not just sitting in front of my computer working all day. So that's, I don't know, that's kind of a typical day, typical week. More than happy to kind of get in a little bit more, but that's just a kind of typical day or week in the life of me, I guess.
Yeah, we absolutely love to dive into the weeds here on this show. And you mentioned Influensive. That's how I first came across you. You published a top 30 entrepreneurs under 30 who are creating life on their own terms. And I realized that a number of the people on that list I'd already interviewed for this show, and I reached out to a few more having you guys put this collection together. But Influensive really is kind of aimed at this emerging market of young, entrepreneurially minded folks, and giving them the tools and the information and the stories that can contribute to their success. And I'm curious, in a world where there just seems to be more and more media companies and blogs and podcasts and YouTube channels and whatnot every single day, what drove you to start a media company? What experiences led you to thinking that that was the path for you? And tell me a little bit more about the genesis of that idea.
Yeah. So I definitely can't, I will never take all the credit myself. I'm very fortunate, you know, over the past about year and a half, I've been connected Brian D. Evans. So he was actually the founder, the creator of Influensive. He started the website back in January and he approached me probably in about May or June. And he noticed, you know, at that time, and we've been chatting, you know, a lot and had a few calls, and he approached and said, hey, like, you know, I'm looking to add a few more, you know, writers to this website I created. It's called, you know, influensive.com. You know, I see that you're writing for a few different websites. And I thought, hey, like, would you like to come write for my website? So I said, sure. So I ended up, signing up and writing for his website. And, you know, just after a few posts, I really started to see, you know, our content just, you know, start to blow up. You know, I saw some of the stuff that we started to put out on Facebook started to go viral, and, you know, millions of people started to see it. And that was when it just kind of like hit me. You know, it was kind of like a light bulb moment where, you know, I sat down with Brian and we talked, and I really wanted to get involved at a deeper level. And, you know, and that's what's kind of led us to where we are today. You know, where we're getting, you know, over 800,000 monthly readers to the site. You know, we have 100 different contributors, as I mentioned earlier. You know, growing daily. You know, we're reaching anywhere from around 4 to 6 million people per week. You know, on social media, so it's really growing. It's spreading, and to kind of, you know, touch on that kind of second question you were saying about, you know, what kind of really, you know, spurred the idea, or, you know, what kind of thought did I get in my head, like, this is the right thing to do, or, you know, we should be building this, because there's so many media companies out there. Is what I was finding, you know, is I would, if you would have asked me 5 years ago if I would be a writer today, I would have said, you're probably lying, or that's the biggest joke ever. But for some reason, I'm a writer now, and I like writing. I enjoy it. It's something that I usually carve time out of, you know, in every day to write. And I've started to get noticed a lot more. And, you know, it was a couple, the one post that I think that really just kind of hit home for me, and the whole intention of this post was just really to inspire other people and tell them a little bit more about my story. But I published it on Influensive, and it was called Why Every Entrepreneur Should Be Blogging. And I ultimately feel that every entrepreneur should be blogging or creating content. So, you know, not everyone's a good writer, but, you know, maybe people are better in front of a video and in doing daily vlogs or whatever it may be. But I basically just wanted to tell people about my story and about my path, you know, for writing and what types of opportunities have come my way and the benefits to you and your business if you start writing for a website or a publication. And that article just really hit home to me, and noticed that what we're doing and what we're building is much bigger than, you know, just Brian and myself. We're starting to touch people, and we're starting to inspire people. And on that article alone, you know, I had upwards of 80,000 views within a few months. And I had over 10 different comments, you know, I had from people saying, hey, you know, I read your article and I was inspired to start writing. And, or, hey, like, I always thought I should start writing. I just don't know what's holding me back. And, you know, so it was really cool to just like write something, create content, and have people, you know, reply to you and say, hey, like, you really touched me, or, you know, I really related to your topic and to your article. And that was one of the real defining moments for me, and noticing that, you know, what we're doing at Influensive and what we're building is something much bigger than just ourselves. And we really want to, you know, inspire, you know, the next generation. We want to create that platform that, you know, millennials, entrepreneurs, whatever you are, you know, you can come to our platform and find that inspiration or find that information that you don't find, you know, in other sites online. And that's ultimately, you know, just kind of, you know, the main goal of Influensive. So hopefully that kind of, you know, kind of gives you and the audience, you know, a little bit of a better picture, you know, of Influensive.
Absolutely. And there's a ton that I'm excited to unpack with you over the next 20 minutes or so. But I want to go back to that moment that you mentioned, or perhaps that time frame that you mentioned of 5 years ago, where if someone had said you were a writer now and you were consistently writing, that you wouldn't have really believed them. And unpack a little bit more about that transition from completely unbelievable to a habit or a regular practice on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. I think there's a lot of people also out there who see perhaps, you know, maybe writing on a regular basis or are so self-critical of their writing abilities. They didn't, you know, study English or take a writing course at whatever point that they deem significant. Tell us a little bit more about how you made that transition, what your regular habits and practices look like, and what advice you'd give to someone who isn't sure where to start.
Right. So I'll just kind of do like a complete, I'll go back a little bit more than 5 years just to kind of give people, you know, a little bit more of my story.
Sure.
So in terms of in grade 12 in English, I actually just barely passed grade 12 English. I've always been a very strong speller, but my grammar, sentence structure, and just overall writing ability when I was growing up was not very good. So as I mentioned, I barely passed, you know, grade 12 English class. And then I ended up playing hockey, you know, across Canada for, you know, over 3 years. And then I ended up going to college on a scholarship for hockey as well, where I got my business degree. And it really wasn't until about my third year in college where I actually, a light bulb kind of went off in my head, and I kind of told myself that, you know, I didn't want to be the college student that was going to wait till the fourth year, wait till 5 months after he graduates and then looks for a job or then starts to put in effort, you know, to like do something with his life. I just basically said, and you know, at the start of my third year, I was like, you know what, like I'm going to start hunkering down. I'm going to start focusing on things more. And that was just kind of when I think I had a few teachers, I did a few essays and I noticed I was getting better marks. I was getting better marks on my essays and my papers. And I was like, okay, like this is interesting. Like I've never really done good on papers. And then there was a couple times where I actually, funny enough, I came across a couple contests on Twitter. And there was two contests within a matter of about 6 months. And these contests were open up to post-secondary students. And I, and basically what it was just asking a question and you had to write a paper about it, you know? So what would you do if this happened tomorrow and you just write whatever, a 500 word paper about it? So the funny thing was, is I ended up writing and submitting essays to two of these contests. One was in the summer and then one was in the fall. I ended up winning both of them. And what I got for both of them, it wasn't just me as a winner, but I ended up getting selected to go to these different conferences that were around my province here in Canada and Alberta. And so I got to go to these, so I got noticed as an essay winner, even though I didn't really notice that I was a good writer at the time. And that just kind of gave me the confidence that I am a good writer, I guess, and then I can write. And then from there, I just kind of continued to climb up the ladder to what I'm doing today is, you know, I started writing for a couple different fitness magazines and been published a few times. And one of them I'm still involved with a little bit at the moment. And then I kind of started moving in more towards business type stuff and started writing for Startup Grind and, you know, an Influensive, and I've been published on Shopify and Huffington Post. And I just kind of started to progress slowly. But it wasn't something that, you know, just kind of happened overnight. It was just kind of, you know, slow progression, but I just started to kind of take everything and just kind of continue to move it. And then obviously here I am today, you know, helping build and grow and manage, you know, a new publication. And, you know, so would I have seen myself doing this 5 years ago? Not at all, but I definitely see that this is the right path for me. And it's something that's just kind of, you know, not mistakenly happened, because I think everything in life happens for a reason, but I was definitely meant to be doing this right now. And I'm thankful for the opportunity and I'm thankful, you know, for the experiences that I've had up until this point. So in terms of, you know, some tips, you know, that I can give or tricks or, you know, little writing inside tips, you know, for some of the listeners, you know, I honestly think that one of the problems with our generation, our society, whatever you want to call it, is I think we're all our own worst enemies. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's lots of times where I chat with someone, have a call with them, and they're like, oh, I've always wanted to write, but I just don't think no one wants to listen to what I have to say, or I'm not good enough. And I think like a lot of people are their own worst enemies, and they're basically just, you know, calling themselves out without even trying. And I think the most important thing is you just have to try. You have to go out there and you got to do it and you got to put it out there. It's not going to be the best, you know, right away, but you need to put content out there and then just keep refining it and keep getting better at it. And you'll start to notice that you'll get better at it over time and you'll learn new things as you go. But I think the most important thing is people just need to do it and not think that other people don't want to listen to what you have to say or don't want to hear about your experiences, because, you know, there's a lot of people in the world and there's a lot of people that are probably going through similar things as you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And I think it's great if we're able to share that, you know, in a relatable way. And I think that's a great way to build community and to build relationships, you know, with people, and especially with social media and with technology nowadays. It's a really great way, you know, to connect with people and really build those relationships. So in terms of the, you know, a tip, trick, whatever you want to call it, I would say you just need to, you know, get it out of your head that you're not good enough, because I thought I wasn't good enough and I barely, you know, passed grade 12 English, but somehow I got to where I am today because I got over that and I said, you know what, I'm just going to put content out there and keep refining it until, you know, I see that there's a fit for me, or I start writing about something that I'm truly passionate about. And then and another kind of just like small tip that I'll just put in there is, you know, you can either use your phone or use a notebook if you like writing stuff on hand or whatever. But something that I do is, you know, I come up with ideas for stories all the time. I keep like a Google Drive document open on my computer lots of the time where I just like write down a title that comes to my head because I'm watching a TV show or I'm, you know, driving around the city or I'm traveling or I'm reading a book and something just pops into my head and I'm like, oh, that would be a cool topic that I could write about. So that's another kind of like tip that, you know, people sometimes are like, what do I write about? You know, just think about those different things. And when you get those thoughts, write it down. Or put it in your phone or speak it to your phone, talk to Siri, whatever. And those are, you know, a few tips and tricks that hopefully, you know, some of the listeners can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. That was fantastic. You're making my job pretty easy here as a host, Clinton.
Sorry about that. Sometimes I can get off on a little bit of a tangent. And I'm definitely just want to provide as much value to everyone listening and downloading as possible.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I love the notion that it's going to be a long, slow process. I think that kind of entrepreneur versus wantrepreneur mindset, that understanding of what the time commitment's going to be and the potential rewards that may be 1, 2, 5, 10 years down the road is just so, so important. But I also love the idea that this obstacle of putting what you've created out into the world, stopping so many people. A good friend of mine is an editor at A+, and he was actually a guest way back in the day on like episode 17 or something, but he always has told me, even before A+, he was consistently writing, and he always said his advantage that he had over everyone else was he was never worried what people were going to say, what they were going to think, and he never hesitated about sharing what he'd created and just trusted the process of doing it consistently and knowing that he trusted his voice to go and interact and spar with people out there. And that served him really well and was a big thing motivating me. You know, when I started this show, I was hesitant. I had like 6 or 8 episodes prepared, edited, ready to go. And I just kept putting off actually releasing my first episode. And in hindsight, you know, those are far from my best episodes. They were poorly edited and I tightened up my game as a host. Right. But that is a part of the process, and acknowledging that is just a huge, huge deal.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. I can 100% agree. And it's definitely a process, and, you know, people need to get it out of their heads that, you know, there are no overnight successes. You're not just going to become a published writer overnight. You're not just going to create one story that you think is amazing and, you know, Forbes is going to pick it up or something. You need to realize that, you know, it's a process. You need to continue to work and refine, you know, become a master of your craft, really. And that's what's really going to, you know, set you apart and really, you know, get you to a place where you are an influencer and in an industry, or you are a thought leader. So those are just a few things that I definitely agree with.
Certainly. And in that field of thought leadership, in addition to the writing that you're doing, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you were visiting China last month as a Canadian delegate to the G20 summit?
Yes, I was. I was extremely privileged to be selected by an organization here in Canada to represent Canada at the G20 Young Entrepreneurs Alliance Summit. So what it is it's actually all the G20 countries get a delegation together and of entrepreneurs. So they're all entrepreneurs in all their respective countries, and they get them together. And, you know, it's fairly formal. It's been around for about six or so years now. And basically the whole kind of main goal behind it is bringing, you know, different entrepreneurs and thought leaders together from all the G20 countries and really, you know, trying to bring awareness to the actual G20 leaders, what's going on in entrepreneurship and business, you know, in all these different countries. And, you know, we're starting to slowly make progress. This was my first year on the delegation, but it was a really cool experience being able to connect, obviously, with entrepreneurs and from all over the world, that it was just a really, really fun time and my first time to China. So it was definitely pretty cool. And yeah, it was definitely pretty much a highlight of my year for sure, because I definitely would have never thought I would be going to China or, you know, representing my country or, you know, anything along those lines. So when I, you know, when I received that email or whatever it was, that I got selected, I was pretty humbled and extremely proud to be able to do that. So it was a really fun experience.
And what I'm curious to ask you about that a little bit further is there's kind of this idea that entrepreneurship is very kind of focused in certain areas. So a Silicon Valley or an Austin, Texas, or Saigon, Vietnam, or these other places are known for that type of energy. And you definitely have clusters of that. But I'm curious what your experience was in interacting with these different delegates and what you're seeing in terms of trends of young entrepreneurs out there. It seems like that's very much the hip career du jour, so to speak, for a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of moving in that direction. So maybe on a broader context, why do you see, you know, you've clearly made a bet here as someone who's co-founded a company that is dedicated to providing information to these young entrepreneurs. Do you care to expand just a little bit on that trend and what you believe the role entrepreneurship will play in this and future generations?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think entrepreneurship is, yeah, I think it's super important today and for our future. So I guess I'll kind of, you know, touch on the first point of view of, you know, kind of like, you know, that it is, it does seem like, you know, entrepreneurship is like the cool thing to do nowadays. You know, everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, everyone wants to start a company. And I just want to kind of, you know, put a little bit of reality, you know, in, you know, into some of the listeners. So there's a lot of people out there that they want to do something or they have these ideas. Just the problem is they're not actually working, you know, every day or hard at those ideas. They have these great ideas. You know, they want to be an entrepreneur, but the other things is people are kind of doing it wrong. And what I mean by that is, you know, people think that, oh, to be an entrepreneur, I have to quit my job and start this company without ever doing any research or anything, or I need money to start my company because I have no money. And I think the real definition of an entrepreneur is someone that's resourceful, someone who uses their time well, you know, someone who has dedication, you know, to the process. Because when it comes to being an entrepreneur, yeah, it's great on this interview that, you know, we're talking about some of my successes and, you know, some of the great things that are going, you know, going on in my life that I'm so thankful for. But, you know, there are also hard times, you know, there's tons of hard times, and lots of obstacles and mountains that I've had to climb, you know, to get me to where I am today. And on every one of those obstacles or every one of those, you know, kind of, you know, barriers that were put in front of me, I could have quit and went back to, you know, what I had always known, or, you know, went and found another job and whatever it was. And ultimately, I think that's what a real entrepreneur is, someone who perseveres and someone who really knows what the process of entrepreneurship and building a business doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. It's more of that mindset. It's more of you just have it in you that you want to build, you want to create, you want to provide a better place for people. You know, you want to do something big for the world. You want to provide, you know, a difference. And you don't just want to be, you know, a cog in a machine for someone else, type of thing. And where I see entrepreneurship going and kind of where it is already right now is I think entrepreneurship is super important, you know, for our generation and future generations. And the reason being is, you know, there's tons of studies and I'm sure you've read some of them, but, you know, they say that by the year 2020, you know, 40% of the workforce or something is going to be freelancers. And you know, I probably would have to somewhat agree with it. I don't know if it's going to be exactly 40%, but you know, there is going to be a high percentage of people, that are going to be freelancers or they're going to be working on their own. And I think one of the reasons being is, you know, we value work-life balance. We value, you know, being able to have time to do other things and have fun doing those things. We're not, our generation isn't about, you know, you have to be in this office at this time until this time. You know, we're more about, hey, you know, I want to work for these 3 or 4 hours, be able to go work out at lunch and then have a couple more hours and then, you know, do what I want, you know, kind of maybe in the evening, have some family time and then maybe finish up a few things late at night. And I feel like just the way that business and old corporate is thinking is that they still are trying to put people into a box and try and put, you know, millennials and Gen Y and Gen Z or whatever in these boxes. And we're just breaking out of these boxes and saying, no, we're going to go do our own thing. And I ultimately see that entrepreneurship is something that we need and we need to start promoting at a younger age all over the world. And the reason being is we need to make being an entrepreneur like similar as I want to be a doctor or I want to be a lawyer. You don't hear too many kids growing up saying, I want to own, you know, an app store or I want to create, you know, the next biggest video game. You know, they always say that I want to be an astronaut, a firefighter, you know, all these doctor, lawyer, all these things. But the reality is if we didn't have entrepreneurs and people creating businesses, we wouldn't need as many accountants. We wouldn't need as many lawyers. We wouldn't need as many doctors. We need more entrepreneurs because it helps fuel the rest of society and helps fuel the rest of other jobs and industries. So I am a huge believer in entrepreneurship from now and into the future. It should be something that is taught more of a mindset rather than a profession. And it's something that I feel like can actually be implemented more at a younger age. Because like I said, it's more of a mindset than it is a profession. And I think that's what we need to kind of differentiate a little bit more kind of moving forward.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's also really interesting how for many previous generations, a majority of the entrepreneurs or business owners are kind of falling under the same umbrella. It was really, well, my dad was an entrepreneur. My grandmother started her own store. You kind of had to learn that from within your nuclear family because right. That isn't really something that's being taught in a public school or in a public forum. But hopefully, shows like mine, websites like Influensive, and many other resources out there on the internet are, I think, attributable for why it's becoming more interesting and appealing to more people, because there's finally a resource where you can learn some of the basics, whether it's the mindset or the tactics or even just generating ideas for what your business could be. I think that the internet and these type of digital connections play a huge, huge role.
Definitely. No, I 100% agree with you. And that's where I think, you know, obviously the shows like, you know, like Shark Tank and stuff are starting to, you know, get bigger. And I think they're going to continue to get bigger. And I see, you know, more and more shows coming up about business and about startups and, you know, about entrepreneurship is because, you know, that is a hot topic, you know, of society is being an entrepreneur. It's that buzzword. And I really see that, you know, when I watch Shark Tank, you know, I love hearing the stories of, you know, this couple risked everything, or this guy or this woman risked everything, you know, to build this product, and they've built this product company or whatever into, you know, $300,000 worth of sales in the past 3 months. And, you know, they're there and they're hustling and they're working and they're ultimately building, you know, their future, and they've risked it all. And, you know, it's hard and it's tough, but, you know, they're putting it all out there on those shows. And, you know, those are the stories that just hit me every time and just fuel me, just being like, yeah, like, you know what, there's other people that are doing similar things to me, or, you know, have similar mindsets. And I think that's what's really is obviously helping, is reading the stories, you know, listening to podcasts, watching the TV shows, whatever it is. You know, it's starting to become more, you know, more of a reality to people. So that's where I definitely, you know, I definitely agree with you. And I see, you know, just more entrepreneurship being promoted, hopefully further, you know, for many years to come.
Absolutely. That's a great note to start wrapping up on, Clinton. Before we have you issue a personal challenge for the audience, though, I want to make sure that we direct people to the digital coordinates where they can learn and connect with you.
Yeah. I'm honestly on anything and everything, from, you know, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. Feel free to reach out with me, Clinton Sanko, S-E-N-K-O-W, pretty simple. And I'm more than happy and always willing to connect and communicate with, you know, anyone that, you know, has any questions or, you know, just really wants to, you know, pick my brain a little bit more. I always love, you know, connecting and networking with like-minded people.
Awesome. Those will be linked to in the show notes at goingdeepwithaaron.com/podcast. And as we do at the end of every episode, Clinton, I have to thank you first so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and your story with us. But I also want to give you the mic a final time to issue your personal challenge for the audience.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, Aaron. The personal challenge that, you know, I want to issue to the audience is I want you to go and ask someone something that you have been thinking about and losing sleep over, and you have just absolutely, you know, thought, you know, maybe I should start this business, and you've never really talked to anybody about it. So I want you to go and ask, you know, that person, you know, or someone who's a successful business owner, someone who has started a business, someone who's, you know, maybe just starting a business, maybe they're not a success yet. I want you to ask. And the reason why I want you to do that is I want you to step out of your comfort zone and just ask. I think a lot of people dwell on, I should have done this, or why didn't I do that, or why didn't I do this, or I would have never known if I would have asked someone this, or, you know, just go ahead and ask. You know, whether you're going on an airplane and you want to get a free upgrade, ask. You're never going to get it unless you ask. You're not going to get a raise at work unless you ask and, you know, show that you are worth that raise. So really step out of your comfort zone and just ask, because then deep inside you're going to know whether the answer is yes or whether the answer is no. So just get out there and ask, and don't live life with regrets.
I love it. And you'll definitely sleep better for sure.
Exactly. 100%. Sleep is so important. And yeah, dwelling about, you know, what I should have said or how I could have done this, or I should have traveled when I was, you know, 10 years younger before I got married or whatever, you know, then go travel right now. You know, like you need to stop living life with regrets or woulda, coulda, shoulda. Just do it. Do it, fail, succeed, whatever it is, learn from it. It's an experience, and life is all about experiences.
Absolutely. I love it. I hope a lot of people out there will take the challenge, Clinton, and I hope that they'll continue to listen to great episodes like this one. We just went deep with Clinton Sanko. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day.
Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed that episode. Please make sure that you hit the subscribe button if you've not already done so. And get excited for some of our compelling episodes coming down the pipe. We have got an interview with Bill Fuller, the head chef for the Big Burrito Group, one of the largest restaurant companies in the city of Pittsburgh, credited with being partially responsible for Pittsburgh's rebirth as a food city. We talk about growing up in a food insecure household, how he constructs a menu, and the barriers keeping Pittsburgh from hitting the next level as a food town. You're not going to want to miss any of the forthcoming episodes of Going Deep with Aaron Watson.